This is Jerry Bill Shipwell speaking to you. I'm giving the Canada podcast for this week two wet kisses and a shake in the rear end as a review. So listen up and listen well.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And returning to the show this week, good friend of the show, Mr. Brian E. Lau. Brian, thanks so much for being here.
And Hello, guys.
I have to extend a big thank you to you as well. You know, it's really cool that, you know, since the listeners have learned that we're one co-host short, several people have stepped up, like, wanting to help fill that gap. And my God, that's... What an awesome feeling that is.
It is, yeah.
And it just means the world. And Brian is one of those people. And we've kind of been stood up tonight, haven't we, Jack?
Mm-hmm. Two-timed today.
We've been two-timed today. We had two guests lined up for this evening that both could not make it for one reason or another. But we'll get them rescheduled. I was really excited about getting our Adult Swim guest on, Henry Zebrowski, who... You guys might know from last podcast on the left or from the show Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell on Adult Swim. Both great shows. Mm-hmm. If you've never listened to last podcast on the left, it's like comedy horror. I've just, you know, anytime we have these guests on the show, I just indulge myself in their life for 24 to 48 hours.
So I'm kind of,
prepared for it. And I've been up this guy's career's ass for the past 24 hours for no reason.
It stinks in here.
So hopefully we can get that rescheduled because I'd like to talk to him. He's funny as hell. He seems like a cool guy. And yeah, I would like to get that worked out. But anyway, huge thank you to Brian because he's one of those guys that we've had on. This is what, probably six, seven? I mean, he's a...
Dang, I think this is six now.
He's one of the, you know, prominent leaders in the Canned Air Nation, I would say.
I didn't know what I was getting into with what I was asking, so this is, I don't know if this is going to work out.
What a quick change of heart that was. I came on
Wild
a little
on
too
the
strong.
Air.
See ya.
Came on a little too strong. But anyway, I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone else who has offered to step up. It's... again, just very awesome to see that kind of support, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Nice to know that it's there.
Yeah, exactly. So, since everything has kind of fallen through the floor, I guess we're going to kind of do today's episode, I guess the way we would do a Patreon episode, is just kind of go in with nothing and see what happens.
Almost like when we first started.
We didn't even go in empty-handed first when we first started.
No, we had plans.
News topics. Yeah. You know? Like, I remember the very first thing we were talking about ever, like even on the test pod, was the release of Xbox One coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And how it had been postponed. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They really sound like different people on those recordings. It does. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's not go down that road again. What do you guys want to talk about today?
I have an announcement that I can save for later in the podcast.
Okay. All right.
Something regarding my book, so.
Okay. Yeah, we'll touch on that toward the end. I guess like in our typical fashion. All right, cool. One thing real quick.
What do you want?
Jack, you and I had kind of discussed this earlier this evening. Somebody has suggested a format... For the show, maybe like take an episode and dedicate it to, maybe you can explain this better.
What we would do is, well, it all came from a old commercial from the Mario Brothers movie, toy commercial, that I had posted on Facebook. And Scott Schmidt, one of the friends that's been on the show, he does Final Street, the comic book, the beat-em-up video game style comic book. And mentioned that we should try doing an episode... Where we would say for the Mario Brothers movie toys, talk about that and, you know, really just kind of let it go down from Mario Brothers movie to the Mario Brothers. Who played Mario better? Well, who played it in the movie?
Oh,
Bob
Jesus.
Hoskins.
There you go. You asked me too quick.
Or Captain Lou.
Oh, man.
Get into the video games. Just a whole, it would be
Captain Lou being like the old TV show Mario. Like,
come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario.
Even as a child, I hated him as Mario. Like, Mario doesn't have long ass curly hair this. Like, what's happening?
Luigi worked, but yeah, Mario.
Luigi worked well. Yeah. And nothing against him. I mean, he played Mario the best he could. Mm-hmm. He played the fuck out of him. But even little kid Jeremy was like, nah.
Nah. I knew him. He didn't have rubber bands on his face. It was too recognizable as a kid that who he actually was, not Mario.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reason I bring it up is because that's, I don't know. I want to keep things fresh on Canned Air, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been in the same format for about 200 episodes now. We're hitting 300 here within the next 10. And I've been wanting to do something new, you know, after 300. And that suggestion kind of came as a, I guess, a good idea. Like
a light bulb.
Yeah, I've been trying to think of like new segments we could do and stuff. And if anybody at home has an idea they'd like to send in, boy, we are all freaking ears. I'd love to hear it. But when you said that, I said maybe just simplifying the whole process altogether is the answer to the new format. You know, mm-hmm. When we've looked at statistics across players and stuff, you see that a lot of people tune out, not a lot, but there are a substantial amount of people that tune out after the Retro Roundtable, after we talk the pop culture stuff. Once we just dig into our own comics, well, what I've been reading, you know, is this. And I guess people don't like it nearly as much. So I think that might be a good idea.
That's why you throw in the hooks, man. Like, my announcement is coming up.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. So
it's coming.
Maybe this episode right here could be a tryout for that new format at the very last minute with nothing prepared. Yeah. We can give it a shot where, you know, we'll still welcome a new comic creator every week to the show. But instead of, you know, having the comic vault, we'll just kind of get rid of that. We'll just talk 40 to 50 minutes about pop culture and the last 10 to 20 talk with the comic creator about their project.
Yeah, 'cause pop culture or the roundtable sometimes when it's getting started, it's time to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hate when that happens.
The way we branch off usually into something totally different, too, and we can never really get back around. We can just throw something out that referred to the topic in hand, and then we're like, all right, well, we're going to wrap it up with that one, and then we'll be done.
I think we should do it.
Yep.
Which means the Comic Vault has to go out with a bang. One hell of a bang. And it's not like we're not going to still talk about comics. No, and if we have a comic we've read we want to talk about on the show, well, by God, we'll do it. But
you switch the formula up week to week instead of it being the same three things every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a comic I want to mention that I just saw. I haven't read it.
Let's hear it.
I don't know when's appropriate, but I know you're big, you know, you're a musician. Are you both musicians or is that just you?
I've dabbled.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you big into Kiss, the group?
I wouldn't say big. I mean, I like their hits, and then there's a few other songs I enjoy.
Right. They wear makeup, I know
they were just in town, and I didn't go, if that tells you.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kiss guy, but I mean, yeah, they have some great songs, and, you know, Ace Frehley is
he's bad.
Is a great guitarist, and I mean, you know, they obviously are showmen. They were pioneers, and anyways, there's a comic called Kiss the End, and I'm just enamored with this cover artist. I'm a big Bill Sienkiewicz fan, and this guy is just like Sienkiewicz. His name is Stuart Saiger. I think it's how you pronounce it, S-A-Y-G-E-R. And he's doing the cover to the Kiss the End comic series right now. And then I looked him up, and he's going to be at like three shows I'm going to be at. He's going to be at Motor City Comic Con. He's going to be at – I bring him up with you guys because he's going to be at Columbus Wizard World. So,
really?
Which I'll get to hang out with you guys again. So, yeah, I'm going to be checking this guy out because this guy, if you look up at Kiss the End issue one's cover, it is magnificent, man. It's beautiful. So
I will look that up right now. Kiss the End.
Yeah. You know, Kiss the End. Put comic book because, you know, all this other Kiss stuff will come up.
It's kind of funny that Kiss got brought up because that was going to be the one that I talked about this week, but I never got a chance to read it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I found a 2003 San Diego Comic-Con exclusive number one of Kiss comic, and yeah, I was going to read it, but I ended up not getting to it.
Is that the one that they used their blood in the ink?
No.
I have no idea.
No, that was a long time ago.
I know that.
In the end, it wasn't actually true, right?
Oh, I don't know. I thought that was true.
Maybe it was, but I don't know. See.
They had like an exclusive magazine or something.
That just seems dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, this is back. Too. Yeah, this is back before AIDS. This is what caused AIDS was Kiss doing the blood knee cover.
Oh God!
Started the AIDS epidemic.
I don't know. Always again. I got into Kiss after I saw Detroit Rock City.
That was the most I've ever known about them is from that movie.
I think it was. Right. I also had a cassette just kind of floating around the house. I don't even know where it came from, but. They just always seem, yeah, you're right, Brian. They are definitely, you know, visionaries, pioneers, great showmen, but their music is just is kind of generic, I guess. It's very generic.
I agree.
Seeing Detroit Rock City, that was pretty much the first time that I really heard any Kiss songs, and always seeing them when I was a kid, seeing the way they looked, I always thought it was a hard screaming metal.
Yeah.
And then you hear it, and I'm like, this is them?
Yeah.
And then hearing Beth, which I just found out that was a... Nobody likes that song.
Beth?
Yeah.
I fucking love that song.
So do I.
That's a great song.
Oh, yeah. I like it, too. The guy I work with is a big Kiss fan. And then growing up, one of my childhood friends loved Kiss when we were kids. And so I've been checking them out here. Like, what am I missing here? You know, plus the touring. And, I think they're kind of like... They're the basic kind of a pop rock group as far as the music goes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But Ace Frehley is definitely a great guitarist, man. And they're definitely innovative. So but this cover artist, I don't know. I know you're into music, so I wasn't sure. I thought I'd ask you
had some shit going down recently where, you know, they started this End of the Road tour is what they're on now. It's their last tour, you know.
It's gonna last a million years.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll fucking see. We know how Gene likes his money.
Yeah.
But I guess that it was something that Gene or Paul had said in an interview kind of had alluded to the slight possibility that they might be reaching out to Peter Criss and Ace Frehley for this End of the Road tour. And I guess Ace was like all about it and, you know, really like even talking to the press saying, yeah, they said it. So I'm just waiting for that call to come in. But then Gene was like, oh, fuck no, that's not happening. And he got really pissed off and wrote this long 3-page, I think it was on Twitter maybe or something, rant about, fuck Gene, fuck you, I'm fucking out. You know, like he just burning the bridge. But I don't know. Ace had his problems for sure, you know, with the drugs and stuff. But in the end, I think at the end of the road, yeah, Kiss has their hits. But I think Ace Frehley's New York Groove and Peter Criss's Beth are the best two things to come out of the fucking Kiss catalog, if you ask me.
Hot as Hell, I think, is the song. Is it Hot as Hell?
Hotter Than Hell?
Hotter Than Hell. Oh, that's
Hot as Hell.
That's a great reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know that. Did you see the cover I sent you?
Oh, wow. That is wicked.
That is cool.
They look like they look like McFarlane's Spawn, kind of, with Gene. Yeah, it is pretty wicked.
I would read that just because of the cover.
I don't know.
Judge it.
It's on Dynamite. Speaking of covers, Jack, I just showed you kind of what I've been doing. But I have, Brian, I let you and I'll let the listeners in on to what my recent project has been. I've got a shelf full of toys behind me, and a couple of those shelves are dedicated to Marvel Legends action figures. And, I just kind of have bought them here and there over the years. I don't like actively collect them. If I see one that strikes my fancy, I buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just some odd pairings up there, you know. There's like 5 Spider-Man, a Green Goblin, Doc Ock, X-23, you know, just random shit. And the way Green Goblin was kind of sitting on his glider, I was like, man, the way he's standing there, he looks like Mick Fleetwood on the cover of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album, you know, where he has knee on a stool and he's holding that globe.
Right. Classic. So,
yeah, and I thought, well, it'd be cool to reenact that. And I looked over then at Laura Kinney, X-23, who is Wolverine's daughter with the two claws, you know. And the way her hair is flowing and the kind of the pose she had looked like Stevie Nicks. And I thought, I wonder. So I got them down and I posed them up and holy shit, does it look amazing. And I photoshopped it down to the last detail.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. So
I'm a huge, huge Fleetwood Mac fan. And Lindsey Buckingham, one of my favorite guitarists ever, man. So we're hitting a nerve, because I kid you not, he's one of my favorite guitarists, up in my maybe top 10.
We saw him in 2013, and I have never heard a hush fall over a whole arena like when he played Big Love on acoustic. Like, it was
exactly that's amazing. What turned me on to him. And I shook his hand, man. I was front row. Nice. He was playing that shit right in front of me. I shook his hand.
That's amazing, man. That is cool. Yeah,
I still haven't washed it since then.
Gross.
Turning a little brown.
So what do you think of the new lineup?
Because I wear a rubber glove.
What do you think of their new lineup without him?
I haven't really looked into it, but without him, I mean, he's the brilliance. I mean, Lindsey. Yeah. I mean, Stevie's obviously part of it too, but I mean, that guy was really, when you look into it, the brilliance, the genius in so many ways.
I think that, you know, watching him play live, what shushed the audience was, you know, hearing this song and then that many people realizing at the same time that's all coming from one man. I thought that was two people.
Yes. He's got a lot of noise coming from those guitars.
His playing,
that's why
style
I put him up there, because he plays a guitar, but he's a singer and a songwriter. And if you ever hear the studio version of Big Love, it's like kind of cheesy compared to, and then you see him do it live, and it's like,
big.
It blows you away. It's like, it's heavier than any kind of heavy metal song. The intensity, or you know, Mozart or Beethoven. I mean, it is intense.
It is. I can't agree more. It was such a good freaking show. It was so good.
I remember that one year when you were going to see them, and I said something about watching Mick play guitar or drums. Mm-hmm. Just watching his facial expressions and stuff, how fun that is.
Yeah. Well, they had, it was so funny because the screen they had behind them was like the top of the top notch kind of digital display. It looked real. So when I was taking pictures of the stage, of the stage from where we were sitting, and he was making those faces, you know, it looked like I was that close to him. Does that make sense? So it looked like I was essentially in his face while he was playing drums, and people were like, holy shit, did they let you on the stage or something? How did you get a picture like this? And I was like, no. Look down in front of his set. There he is, really. That tiny little dot's him. But, I've never seen that kind of picture. It was so clear. You could have walked into it. It was so clear.
Nice. Nuts.
But anyway.
Nice.
Got sidetracked. Been making these album covers, and I started with the Fleetwood Mac Rumors album, recreated with the Green Goblin and X-23, which really, again, they have no business together, but boy, it's like the figures were made to make the pose. Mm-hmm. And I have recreated some other ones. I've done Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, Queen.
Ooh, nice. Probably my favorite
News
album.
Of the World.
Ooh, Queen. My gosh, you're hitting them all.
Yeah.
News of the World?
Yes.
Can I see these online?
I haven't posted them yet, but I'll send them to you privately.
Okay.
Just don't show the world yet, because I haven't put them out there yet. I want to get a whole series of them.
Oh, my gosh. News of the World. Queen is my favorite group, period. And Brian May is my favorite guitarist, singer, songwriter.
Well, I recreated it.
So you're just knocking them out of the park.
The Fantastic Four and Dr. Doom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dr. Doom?
Yeah. It's called Doom
awesome,
of the World.
Awesome, as the robot.
Yes, Doom is the robot. I'll just send it to you.
You're onto something here, man. I mean,
right? That's what I thought too. Wasn't I telling you?
Yeah, I haven't seen this done.
He did Never
I'm
Mind.
I'm getting stoked.
I did Never Mind, which I'm going to redo with Namor. I've done it with Drax, but that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Namor
makes sense.
Perfect. Oh God, yeah.
And I've done Johnny Cash, The Beast Within, like where he's flipping off the camera. I've done that with Old Man Logan with one claw up and a guitar. Yep. And I think the next one I'm going to do is Tom Petty, Damn the Torpedoes with Daredevil. So it'll be, I don't know if it's going to be Matt Murdock and the Defenders and then Dare the Torpedoes or something like that. I haven't decided what the title's going to be.
Do Abbey Road with the Guardians.
Man, I've been thinking about that, but the Guardians I have are like lower line Hasbro toys, so they don't have like much articulation in their feet or knees.
I've got the movie Legends.
All of them?
Mm-hmm.
Bring that shit over! Yeah. I've got Drax Legend. If you've got Star-Lord, Groot, and Rocket.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I angle more too, but yeah, you can do all. Yeah.
See, I don't want to put this out in
what
the world.
What about Breakfast in America, Super Train?
I'm going to have to cut this out now, I think.
No way.
I don't want to put it out there yet.
No, it's good. Talk about it. You hype it up. Nobody's going to.
Yeah, but then people are like, oh, I should do that too. I should get that idea ahead of you.
It's copyright.
Nah, you already got it, man. You're good. What about Zeppelin's first cover? You can put like something from the comics world. Do you have a toy that's shaped like a Zeppelin?
I don't. No.
Man, too bad I don't have that. Zeppelin!
What that movie's Vulture Zeppelin? That I just got. That'd be a good for a Zeppelin one. Man, that would be awesome. If I had an Angel, but I don't have Angel.
Well, that was never an album cover. That was the name. That was like their logo for their recording company, yeah, I guess. That's right. I thought the same thing, though. I thought the same thing. Brooke enlightened me to that. Or somebody did. I think it was her. But, yeah, I'm trying to just... I want to put a whole batch of them out. That way, if it does get a lot of people thinking about it, I'll have a lot of territory covered instead of just putting one or two out and then everyone else filling in the gaps.
Right.
You know, I want to do it. Me!
That's why you have to post this now so you could get it out there that this was, you were the first one to start doing this.
That's a good point, but I think I need to stop sitting on my hands and just release a bunch of these. I don't know. I'm going to think about it.
We got what, three done now?
Yeah.
Then you need music. Four. Where it's the characters are singing the songs.
Oh, wow. That's elaborate. That's elaborate.
Who's next? You have to do the who's next, where they're all pissing on the wall.
Here. Okay. I want to hear your reaction actually live. So I'm going to send these to you, but I can't release this. We're keeping so much from the people. Like, this is just a personal conversation we're having now, you know, like the listener has got to, like, cannot be vested at this point, can they?
Yeah, they're getting excited to see it. Well, I want to see this. I got to see this. I like this.
Okay.
Brian's
reaction then. I'm going to send you.
His reaction will sell it. It'll be like, oh, shit, listen to this. Listen to Brian's reaction to it. I really got to see these now.
All right. Here is Doom of the World, Brian, coming your way.
You know the Who's next album where there's this like brick concrete thing in the middle of the like nowhere and you see that they all urinated on it? Oh my God, it's one of the greatest albums ever. And the album cover. Who's next?
That would be cool. Okay, here comes one. I don't know if this one will come through for you.
Yeah, there's the Who one.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Oh my dude. That is amazing. Now, this is you're onto something, man. Because like people resonate with, like that's why talking about this is great. Because who doesn't love their favorite musicians and then their album covers are art. I mean, it's like actually album covers are like the first, you know, comic book covers and stuff, or not the first, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you got this story inside the album, especially something like this album. It's almost like a concept album.
Sell the shit.
That's awesome, man. I like this idea a lot, especially when it's groups I love.
I have been thinking about selling them if I can get enough of them.
It's the Human Torch. The Human Torch. Now that I'm even thinking about it more, the Human Torch. But why did you pick? Because of Fantastic Four. You picked Invisible Woman, huh?
Yeah, you were clear.
Brilliant, dude. Yeah, you come up with shit like that. That's what you called it?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Is it? No, it's not. Oh, it's on the right. Wish you were clear. Oh, man. And she's not clear.
Her hand is going clear.
There's like levels of depth here. Oh, it is.
Oh, I'm deep, Brian.
You're deep.
Check out that next one.
This next one must be substantially bigger because it's taking a long time to send to you, but it's on its way.
That is epic. Perfect.
That's one of my favorites.
Like, you got something there, man.
I've been kind of thinking that myself.
Yeah, but you can do more of those.
But I just haven't known. Yeah, I think that in the past, man. Like, oh, I'm onto something here, and then I put it out, and it just fucking falls like a rock.
I spent hours and blood.
Join
and
the crowd, man. It's like constantly. I'm like, I come up with the latest and greatest idea that people are going to love.
I do not like the title of the Fleetwood Mac when I came up with it. The title is not good, but I do not know what else. Okay, Fleetwood Mac rumors. Maybe you guys can help me here. The Green Goblin and Laura Kinney X-23. Staying in the theme...
Okay, but I don't have the image yet.
It's on its way. I'm sorry. They're taking forever. Staying in the rhyme scheme of Fleetwood, you know, and Mac, what I came up with was... this is so stupid. I don't even want to say it now that we're putting this shit out. Green Hood X. I mean, that's the closest thing I could come up with.
Yeah, that's...
And it's not good, but... Come up with something better. Help me here.
What did you have? You're in and out. It says poor connection. I don't know why.
It's probably because I'm sending this shit.
Probably because it's transferring the image.
Yeah.
It's like 600 DPI?
It's 1,000. Posters. You can print it out and put it on your wall. It'll fit. Super high.
That's another thing. I'm only putting them to Instagram because it'll make low res.
Why don't you just... Why don't you just snail mail it to me? I'd probably get to me sooner.
It's almost done at this point.
Make it to you before the download.
You should have got the Fleetwood Mac one.
Oh, you got a progress bar? You got the progress bar? It's at like, it's already 100%, but it's just sitting there.
No, it's at 75% right at the moment.
So what did you say? Okay, wait. I don't want to hear it. I want to wait until I actually see the image. But I'll tell you, maybe I can come up with something as far as that. But I'll think about this because this fascinates me. And I'll send you ideas that you can use. And
that'd be great.
You can change or add to if I come up with anything, because I'm digging it, and I'm really digging it, dude. I'll send them to you. It's your thing. You came up with it, and then if I come up with a brilliant idea, take it. I'll give it to you, man, because, you know, I'm already busy enough anyway. So.
Well, I'm not going to just steal an idea, but, I mean, we'll definitely work something worth it. Yeah, for sure, man.
We got a lot of figures between the both of us. So.
Yeah, yeah. And each time I think of a new one, I was like, oh, I can't pull that off.
It's a gift. If I come up with one I want, if I come up with one I want done, I'll give it to you. And then you can, if you like it, you can do it.
My objective, though, is to have like a whole series of these Marvel classic album covers recreated that people could then print and put in like frames. Like if you're a Marvel Legends collector, how cool to like display a collection with those same figures portraying classic album covers.
Instead of the Guardians for the Abbey Road, I got the Ghostbusters.
Ooh.
Listen, man, both. This wish you were clear. Wish you were clear. You could even have that done up. Drawn art wise, because when you so you got this one with the toys, but when you come up with one that just hits on every level, like this one, you could like get somebody at a con to do a version of it and just have it a piece of art, you know, with the flame, everything, you know,
let's commission it, have someone commission it. That'd be sweet.
I just like the ability. Did you get it?
Yeah, the Green Lantern, Green Hood X pumpkins.
Because pumpkin bombs. Again, I have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
It's not good. It doesn't.
Doom of the World? Oh, I want to see that one. It's not. Oh, it's downloading. Well, let's look at this one. Rumors. Rumors. One of my favorite albums. Oh, could you get his glider? Oh, he's got the testicles. it's badass, man.
It needs renamed. It just needs renamed. I just wanted to have something on there quick to kind of look at it.
Let's figure that out. Shit.
I want you to see Doom of the World before we go on, man. I want to hear your reaction.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Because, dude, honestly, Queen, this is no bullshit. Queen's been my favorite group forever. You know, they just did the movie, and like they're everywhere now. But
this is
I've been huge. Now, Doom of the World's already fucking amazing. Good. Doom of the World is already amazing. Now, wait a minute. It's News of the World, and it's Queen. And isn't he a king? You should probably.
Everything with Doom is Doom, like Doom bots. I don't know.
It's not. He's not.
I mean, he's the ruler of Latveria, and he's like he was the emperor of Battleworld, but it came out damn good. I mean, these things are only so
amazing. And it's got that color in the background and Doom of the World with the text. Is that the same text? It's close.
I downloaded I found the text online somewhere. I photoshopped the robot and the actual, I mean, that background you're seeing is from the actual album cover. I just imposed the robot out and put
them in. I thought so.
And I, with the Invisible Woman, I photoshopped her eyes shut. What's that?
You got some Photoshop skills there.
Thank you. Yeah, it comes out good.
No, dude, seriously, that's a great cover, and it ties in with, like, it's got that kind of comic book cover feel, too, because it's, like, such an amazing painting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
Doom
digging them.
Of the world.
And, like, I nice. Thought if I can make this one work, like, I'm going to really go full steam ahead, because I never thought I could pull off this Doom of the World one. Like, I had to take... Each hand is a picture, his forearm's a different picture, and then his body's a different picture. I had to puzzle him together in Photoshop, like, into
oh,
the pose.
Oh, shit, no.
He's got those proportions
down well. It's seamless. It's seamless. I don't notice anything. It's good.
His eyes are just but creepy.
The only thing I'm thinking, like, is... If it's Doom of the World, I kind of want the title of the group Doom to be different in a way, but because it's kind of playing on the same thing twice. That's the only thing I'm thinking. But true. I don't know what it would be better. I don't know it's what it would be like, better.
I don't know. I like the way... What, I like. I think he, if it was his band, he would certainly call it Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And what better, I mean, okay. I don't know. I know what you're saying, because that definitely occurred to me, but... I don't know. I might leave that one the way it is. Unless you can think of something cool, but I might leave that one. It's the Fleetwood Mac.
No, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. But the Fleetwood Mac is one that, yeah, I think... I'm going to dwell on it some and try to figure it out.
Yeah, because that needs changed. You know, and that's been the major holdup. Once that title's in place, the rest will just mm-hmm. flow out. The rest have been easy. Anyway, we need to talk about something...
The visual is amazing.
...of sustenance. We're 40 minutes in. Holy shit.
No.
All right.
You guys call. You call. It's fun, though. It's definitely fun.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. Yeah, and I don't show anyone those again. I don't think you would, but keep them on the
DL. No, trust me, man. I know how it is.
I do trust you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have sent them.
We're going to get blasted emails. I want to see these cops. Yeah.
I hope so. That would be cool. Yeah. It would be cool. I'm going to have to edit that conversation to where it's a little more listenable than just like, did you get it yet? Is it what about now? Now? But what do we got to talk about? What do we
my mind is just for you. Make sure you put, you know, keep some of it in there, because it's awesome. And my mind's just racing a mile a minute now thinking about it.
Cool, man. Well, I'm definitely going to keep some of it in there, but I'm glad your enthusiasm has really, really done it for me. I'm going full steam ahead now. Well, since we're needing good stuff to talk about, you know, I had a comic for our comic vault this evening, which may not be around too much longer, is what we were just talking about. But anyway, I have an old Fantastic Four comic. We were supposed to talk 80s comics, and just by chance,
that's right, yeah.
I have this old Fantastic Four comic, which, man, I love old comics, because they just... Oh, the story just hits you so much harder than comics nowadays, it seems. I don't know.
There's
it is,
not a lot. It's usually it's kind of like a Dragon Ball Z episode. There's some fighting, grunting, and then it's over. There's not a lot, you know, really that happens into it.
Newer comics I get, and I'll be into them. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, man, that was fucking awesome. But as quick as I'm done with it and put it down, I start to forget about it. I read this 2 days ago, and I've been thinking about it for 2 days.
I think there's more story in older comics than there is now.
There's,
you
and
get
there's
through 5 minutes
more,
and you got to wait a week to keep going with the whole long, because they have the whole arcs going on now.
More awareness of the human condition, too, you know, and keeping the humanity in some of these characters, which I think might get lost a little bit nowadays. I could be wrong. I don't keep up on everything, but I've seen some stuff that comes out, and some of it just seems kind of shallow just to
get something out there.
Yeah, get a fifth Captain Marvel number one out in the past 2 years. Like, how many number ones do we need? Like, they're playing on the ignorant, you know? Anyway.
Annoying.
This comic starts with a woman at the hospital. She's smoking a cigarette, looking out the window, just tell she's stressed, and she's sitting down, and she starts filling out a death report of a 13-year-old boy by the name of Tommy Hansen, who was cause of death was third-degree burns. And it immediately cuts to the hallways of school, where you see this young Tommy in his locker. And with his locker door open, it's just lined with the Human Torch posters and photographs, all kinds of stuff he's collected. And here comes his school bully. He says, "Hey, Tommy, I've got this magazine with a new article with the Human Torch in it." Sends him over the edge. You get the idea that Tommy maybe isn't the fastest of kids. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say he's slow, but somewhere in between, maybe. You know? So this bully kind of waves it in front of him, and Tommy's like, "Please give it to me, give it to me." He goes, "I'll give it to you if you do my homework for a month and, you know, do all this other stuff I ask of you." And he goes, "Whatever, just give it to me, give it to me." So he gives it to him. He gets caught reading in class, and it gets thrown away. And the teacher is talking to him after class. You know, I said, the first time this happened, Tommy, well, you need to get your parents in here. And he goes, well, actually, my parents are never around. I never see my parents. Dad's always out of town on work. My mom works till I'm already in bed. And I guess the Human Torch is all he really has, you know. So he goes home, and he's going to watch a Human Torch special on TV, but there's a message from his mom. Please record this thing that's coming on at 8, which is the same time his special comes on, which nowadays wouldn't be an issue with DVRs enough. But in 85, when you had a VCR, choices had to be made, yep. You know. So he's distraught. He can't watch even the show he wants to watch. Life is shitting on poor little Tommy. And he goes out onto the roof of the apartment building where there's a screwy neighbor out there who's toying with a remote control airplane. And it's zipping all through the air. And Tommy's like, wow, that's really cool, buddy. You finally got it working. He goes, yeah, I found out I had to use this special mixture of fuel here, jet fuel and this and that. And he goes, hey, actually, I need to run downstairs and do something real quick. And he goes, stay away from that jet fuel. It'll turn you into the Human Torch. Ha 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 ha. And he leaves. Well, from here, it cuts over to the Human Torch himself, and Reed and someone else is there. They're constructing, adding more to the building. Fantastic, the Baxter building. And this woman shows up from the hospital, says, are you Johnny Storm? Can you come with me? I was wondering if you could come to this hospital and talk to a child. He goes, oh, you mean like a fire safety kind of thing. Yeah, I do those all the time. Sure, I'll be down. She goes, no, this is a more specific case. And actually, it's a boy who idolizes you, who is minutes from death. Can you come down? And he goes, oh, certainly. So they go down there. And he walks in the room. Johnny walks in the room, and his parents are, you know, holding each other, grieving next to the bed. The boy's wrapped head to toe in bandages. And he walks up to him and says, hey, buddy, it's me, Johnny Storm. And the kid talks for the first time since the incident. And he goes, I just was trying to be like you, and died. Like,
oh, my.
Right there in front of him. And the parents immediately, like, jump on his case. Like, you're a murderer. You're a murderer. You killed our son. Get out of here. You know, go before you turn yourself in before you stop or start murdering more kids and stuff like that. Just running away with their grief. So then he's stricken. He's like, I will never again be the Human Torch. I never once stopped to think about what my arrogance, you know, flying through the air on fire, what that might do to somebody. And now it's killed a child. And he's, I will never do this again. Well, during this comic, they keep mentioning the Beyonder. The Beyonder has been in and around where they're at. They're in New York City, the past issues, I suppose. And out of nowhere, he appears with Johnny, and then disappears with him. He's like, what's the trick, Beyonder? What are you doing? Where are you taking me? He goes, I just want to show you something really quick before you decide to hang up the towel, you know. And they go back in time, and it's kind of like Christmas Story, you know, like where the ghosts of Christmas past, you're watching stuff that's already happened. They can't see you. You can see them. And they're in the room of the boy, Tommy, and he's sitting there, like, they're looking around the room, just covered in Human Torch shit, and he's on the bed reading Human Torch stuff, and he goes, I can't look at this kid sitting here enjoying this. I'm the reason he's dead. And he goes, Tommy's parents never were around. Never around. And the only thing he had was you. You didn't help him die. If anything, you helped him live. You were the only light in his life, the only happy thing in his life. And that's why you shouldn't quit. And that's just kind of where it ends. He's like, you know what? You're right.
Oh, wow.
And that's heavy, because not only is that, you know, heavy in this comic book, but that's an actual kind of relationship that comic readers in real life have, you know.
Exactly,
have,
yeah.
They have shitty lives in comics, TV, movies are their escape. And, you know, to bond with the character as such, it's just an impactful thing. You know, Marvel, I don't know. The comics, these old comics never cease to amaze me. And this is another one.
That's right, a nice here. Twist, too, you know, because they set you up, you know, kind of like, you know, just focused on the negatives of stardom, or, you know, the influence that, you know, think people have over young youth. And sometimes it's misinterpreted, but then so you're focused on that, and then the twist comes.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like, well, what about all the positive, you know?
It was an impactful comic, that's for sure. And every time I get a comic out of that era, it strikes me. It really does. And I will keep getting them from the 80s.
And not long after that issue, Herbie shows up, probably.
It's weird because in this issue and a few others I have, again from 1985, She-Hulk is standing in there for Thing. Yeah. Thing's like on vacation or something. I don't know where he's at, but so She-Hulk is the muscle of the Fantastic Four. But anyway,
oh yeah,
I wanted to throw that out there. I've been thinking about that comic for the past few days.
That's a pretty good one, actually.
Yeah, I hope I did it justice with my description. Well, what do we do now?
It's good, man. My eyes are watering.
Find out what old Brian's got.
I got a question. I mean, something you guys might have talked about back in the day when it came out, not that long ago, but I just recently saw Venom finally, and I'm just wondering what you guys thought of the movie Venom real quick.
Wow. I thought it was hot shit, man.
I enjoyed parts of it.
A shitty mess. That's what I mean. Sorry.
It was all right, I guess. I walked out of the theater and was like, okay. I guess to not know Venom would have been okay for viewers, but to know him, it was kind of, it went both ways. I could see it for both sides of it. I don't want to see it again.
It made no sense. It was so sloppy. It was fucking sloppy. And he looked amazing. He looked awesome. Yeah. But other than that, it was very sloppy.
They got the look of Venom right, but the story was totally wrong.
Well, not even that. I mean, they could have. I expected the story to be changed with, you know, copyrights and properties where they lie.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much had free reign, I would think, to do just a great movie with the Venom concept. But I agree with you. It was just, I hated it. And I liked Tom Hardy was great. And they set up, you know, Eddie Brock as a sympathetic character. And that resonated. But the villain was god-awful. And there were so many decisions in the movie. I agree with you. It was a shit-hot mess. I was so disappointed. And it's encouraging as a writer to watch something like that and go, what? That made it as a major motion picture movie? And it's like it's got millions and millions of dollars and people putting their, you know, 2 cents into it or who knows what. And I'm like, how does that even get made? I didn't get it, so...
It's because the villain was the main focus of it. Like, well, being the hero is what
did they it. Spent so much time though in the marketing for that movie saying, too many superhero films out there. It's time for the anti-hero. Which when it ended, he was no such thing. He was a fucking hero.
Yeah,
he was a hero.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they had a villain in it. And he was not the villain, you know, it was the actual, that psycho, you know, scientist doctor guy in it. And that's the biggest problem I had with the film was he was just so shallow and evil for the sake of evil, like pretty much too many villains are, especially in Marvel Universe.
They, you know, they say that, you know, they keep trying to get this symbiote to bond with somebody, but they can't find the right person to accept it. But the CEO can accept it. Tom Hardy can accept it, and just by chance, his girlfriend, who looks just like but isn't Gwen Stacy, can take it.
Yeah.
Like, how stupid! And oh my god! Then at the end, it was like they set it all up to where Venom's sacrificing himself to save Eddie. It's like goodbye, Eddie, and he like supposedly burns up. Yeah. And, like, with no explanation, the very next scene, they're just chilling on the stoop, and like everything's cool, like. What? What happened?
Yeah.
How did you live?
The transitions in that movie were ridiculous sometimes. I was like, what? You went from this scene to now that?
The best parts of that movie are on YouTube clips. So, you know, just watch the fight scenes.
Yeah, there's parts in there that are good.
Yeah, like all the fighting and stuff was cool. Like just seeing him in that motion was awesome. He looked cool. And one thing I really liked is, you know, they probably, again, because Marvel being so big and the properties where they are, couldn't put the big spider on his chest.
Right.
But they made do with just making those, like, white veins come out. And that looked neat.
Yeah.
That was a good idea, I thought. Visually, gorgeous. When half of his mask pulled away and showed him on the inside, that looked like shit. That looked shitty.
It didn't look right, yeah.
That looked really bad. But other than that, he looked good.
I have a pet peeve with Venom's long tongue. I get a little annoyed with his tongue always swinging out, like a lot of artists show. But, you know, so that, I love Venom, and the concept's great, but the tongue to me sometimes is like way overdone. And so I they did that in the movie, but I'm looking forward to the new Spider-Man movie. What do you think? I'm hoping that that's going to be better than the recent one.
I think a Kiss fan would be more accepting of a long, pointy tongue.
Yeah. I get what he's saying about the tongue, though, especially when Venom's talking.
I know, I agree. I couldn't resist
How could it work? He's got all those pointy teeth. If his tongue had been like all these bite marks in it and teeth marks in it, then I would be good, because it doesn't make sense he has a tongue with those teeth.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I'm sorry. I choked off a conversation that was about to start, I think, to say that. What did you just ask? You just asked me something, Brian.
About Far From Home being
If we're excited for the new one.
I'm hoping that's... Yeah, what do you think?
Very excited. Not so much. I don't know. I like Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Okay, mm-hmm. I wasn't big on Homecoming. I don't like the way they've changed up Spider-Man.
No, I don't either.
An AI suit? What? Fuck off! But
I think that's just to get past him talking to himself all the time.
Yeah, my excitement lies solely in Mysterio.
Yes,
I've
absolutely
always loved Mysterio, and I think Jake Gyllenhaal is going to nail that fucker to the wall. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to make that character.
He's great. Yeah.
So that's my excitement. Not to see another not Mary Jane looking Mary Jane.
Well, they got the villain right, though. They got the villain was good. They made a real villain and then got a great actor to play him, Michael Keaton. And so that's my biggest pet peeve with these comic book movies is usually the villain. And in Homecoming, that Michael Keaton's character was something that you can resonate with, a villain that wasn't just evil for the sake of evil and had some depth to him. So hopefully they do that with if anybody, they should be able to do that with Mysterio.
I hope so. I don't think they'll fall short. Marvel rarely does, but I just hope I like it. There's something about that new Mary Jane I don't dig. And I understand that they are always changing and evolving characters for the sake of new audiences, and I get that. I understand that, but I don't know. I like the bombshell redhead with the guy, the little nerdy guy that normally probably wouldn't have her, you know? I don't know. I love their relationship. I always have. And
her whole attitude is not even close to what you would, I don't know.
She's like PC police. Politically correct, like never makes, like every time she's on screen, it's something kind of, what was it there at the Washington Monument? Like, oh, you're not going to go into the monument? Oh, something that a bunch of slaves helped build? Thank you. All right.
Not Mary Jane at all.
Yeah, not the MJ I remember.
Well, I'm expecting some kind of twist, maybe, because they didn't really play on her as Mary Jane at all, really. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just a completely 180 different take on her.
But again, I'm cynical. I like my own, the Spider-Man I like, and I still have my own Spider-Man, so I'll quit bitching to those people who are like, shut up and give it a chance. But I'll give it a chance, but I'm going for Mysterio. Enough said.
Nice.
All right, Brian, let's get to your bit of news here before we wrap up. What do you got to tell us? You have a bit of news you have to tell us.
Well, as last time I was on the show, we were wrapping up the Kickstarter for the Inferno City Firehouse, a graphic novel I'm doing, 76-page, black and white, cover by Clayton Crane, interiors by Irwin Arosa, and based on real stories from real Detroit firefighters.
Right.
That I took true stories, connected them together.
I was just put a few together episodes into a narrative. Ago, if you folks want to check that out, Inferno City Firehouse.
Yeah, and so that's wrapped up. I've sent it to the printer. I'll be getting the book back from the printer in days. And I received an email from a filmmaker. And this guy is making independent documentaries and some short films. And he's making a film, a documentary about firefighters and mental health called Florian Nights. And he contacted me and says he wants to put me in the book in his documentary. So I started looking him up, and he's got I think one of his most popular documentaries called Freedom Besieged, which is about Greek and its economic downfall and the youth and the struggles within Greece. But he's on IMDb and he's been doing films for years now, and he's directing this documentary. So I'm excited. They're going to be coming to Detroit to film me and my studio and do a ride along with the Detroit Fire Department. And he wants to show the book in the film.
That is awesome. I know.
It is awesome.
Congratulations.
Like, yeah.
I'm excited.
As you should.
I'm excited because it's getting a response, like it's resonating to, you know, people because of the, you know, the subject matter. And it's and it's funny, the things that are tying together, you know, what he's working on and what I am and the timing, and even the name Florian Knights ties into my last page of my story. The Florian Knights. Florian is the patron saint of firefighters, and so that's where that name comes from as far as regarding firefighters. So we happen to both tie into that with his movie title name and with my, you know, one of the pages of my book.
Man, that's freaking awesome. You sent that email along a few days ago, and I've just been like thinking about that ever since. Like, man, how freaking awesome. Because, you know, we know firsthand that you're out there year after year grinding on Staunch Ambition, and it's, you know, it's an amazing book. It's an amazing, amazing project. But, mm-hmm. you know, here comes your second, or maybe not your second, but another project that just immediately is just catching wind yeah. and taking sail. My God, it's got to be an amazing feeling. So just congrats to you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's definitely, that's why I, you know, took a break. It was Staunch to do this, because it was an idea that it was like, oh, this needs to be done. And it's not being done. So that's why I jumped ship to work on this right away, because it's I could tell it was something that was going to resonate and that needed to be done.
It's awesome, man.
Nice.
Yeah, you have to keep us up to date on that when we know when to expect that. I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit down the pike here, but we'll get there, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing filming the last weekend of April, so, you know.
Wow,
you
that
know.
Quick. Holy shit.
Damn.
Yeah, no, it's coming up soon. So if you go on IMDb, it's Florian Knights is on there in filming. So,
well, once again, congratulations to you. And people, should we direct people to what, Staunch Ambition? Does that have everything.com, or is there another website for this one?
Yeah, if they look up Staunch Ambition or Inferno City Firehouse, you'll find all kinds of links. My website is Staunch Ambition. I have a tab for Inferno City Firehouse. Right now, that website's sharing both entities. So.
Which we'll link. And Brian, I want to thank you for again stepping up tonight in the last minute of this cancellation. I hope this has been a good episode for the listeners. I've got my doubts of some parts.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, well, yeah, but we've got visuals to accompany everything. Too, yeah. The people at home can't see what we're looking at and
we'll
going,
just
wow.
Do rough sketches of what it looks like and post that on the website. This is what it might look like.
We're painting pictures with words.
There you go.
Yeah. I reckon.
You know, all they have to do is look up the album cover and then think of, all right, well, Doom's going to be the robot, and then you got the Fantastic Four in his hand, so.
Yeah, maybe.
Hmm.
That's expecting a lot out of someone, but. Anyway, Jack, what do we got on the website?
Go to canedairpodcast.com, where you can see show highlights, listen to the show, see some of our special guests, watch some of our YouTube videos, buy some merch, become a patron, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And don't forget to check out our other show, What If, which, man, I'm enjoying the hell out of. And we just released our first episode with our new co-host over there, Mr. Ryan Little out of California, a comic creator we've had on the show several times.
A whole bunch of times, yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff there, and it's awesome to have him on that show now with us. And I want you guys to check it out. So go to whatifpod.com. That's the website. You can check out all the episodes, or we're on all of our podcast players that be. You know, Jack, I did find something out the other day. Maybe I've already told you this, but if I haven't, I'll tell you now, as I tell the listeners, that if you go, I know, into like iTunes, like the Apple podcast thing there, and you search Canned Air Productions.
Oh, yeah, it comes up that way.
Canned Air and What If will show up. And any other podcast we'd ever decide to put out will come up under that.
Production company, yeah.
So, yeah, if you are having trouble finding it, it's just type Canned Air Productions. I almost said What If Productions. Canned Air Productions. Search that and you'll come across it. It's the yellow text and the blue background. And the last episode we just released with Ryan was What If Bigfoot Had Really Been Found? And that was an interesting conversation.
We got a response from that from a Bigfoot, I think, in Instagram.
Did an actual Bigfoot respond?
That's what the name of the page was. And I said, we'll find you.
So he's real.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. He's the king of hide and seek.
That's it. The best hide and seek player ever.
I would push the Patreon page, but I do not feel like asking for money after this episode. I hope this has been
all they got to offer.
Send us money out of sympathy.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And if not, check the episodes out behind it because they're really good, too. The other one that Brian was on was actually formatted, too. And you get to hear so much more about Inferno City Firehouse. Yeah. You know, that's we were kind of fell silent as you were telling us about it just because it was such an intriguing comic. But
yeah, it was.
Anyway, let that be the bait on the hook. Go check out that episode with Brian. Check out staunchambition.com. And until then, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Brian Lau.
And we'll see you next time.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.